Amen, amen. Everybody feeling all right today?
Yeah.
God is so good. I do have a word for you to share, and it's a personal word. And a lot of times we don't share personal words. What I mean by that is God gave the word to me personally first. And sometimes that's not for sharing, because it's personal to me. And then sometimes God says, no, share it. And rarely I do that, to be honest. Rarely do I share. I mean, I'm not saying every word applies to us, but sometimes God gives you a personal word through someone or through His word or through His spirit. And it's personal. It's meant for you. And then what happens is God will say, okay, now I want to use it to edify the body. So I believe with all my heart that if God meant that word and used that word to strengthen me, that He can use it to encourage and strengthen you today. Okay? I know I'm the least of these. I'm not the whatever, but I believe God can still use this same word to strengthen you. I think He wants to encourage you today. I think He wants to give you hope today. I think He wants to change things today and let you know that you're not alone. And let you know that better things are on the way. Let you know that hope's around the corner. Let you know that the best days of your life are yet to come. Let you know that it's not over. Let you know that it's not a dry season, that the greatest days of your life are ahead. And they're right around the bend, and maybe they start today. Amen. Is that okay? All right, let's pray real quick. I don't always do that. Lord, we thank You, Lord, for this word. We thank You for everything that's going on, and I know in my heart that I've not talked to a single person up here. And so what You've allowed to happen today is it gives me confirmation that this is the word that I'm supposed to give, and I thank You for that. I thank You for the way that You orchestrate services, that we can't control services, that we don't cause revival. We don't. But the best we can do is host revival and let You bring revival, let You bring change, let You bring salvation, let You bring healing. And Lord, let us just be good hosts. Not to get in the way of what You're going to do. We thank You, Lord, for everything that You're about. And we thank You for each and every life change, each and every miracle that's already happened, and each and every miracle that's yet to happen here today, because more's happened, because we are greedy and needy people, and we need You, God. We need You, God, like never before. We love You, God, and we need You. We thank You for what You're going to do. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So I told you that, you know, God gave me a personal word about 3-4 weeks ago, and I've been chewing on it, and I'll get to that in a second. But the weird thing about sometimes when God gives you a word, you know it's a word for a couple of reasons. You know it's a word when it comes from, but there's not always, but sometimes. Sometimes a word can come from somebody you're not looking for a word from, and that blows your mind, right? Because it's somebody you really don't, it's not you have a negative thought, but it's just somebody you're not really looking for a word from. And they drop it, and you're like, that can only be God, because I sure wasn't looking for it. And it resonates in your spirit, and it speaks to something you're really seeking God about. And that's a powerful thing. But what can happen then, in that moment, you feel mind blown. But then what happens the next day, the next day, the next day? When I got that word, and I was so encouraged, but I don't see it. That was great. It pumped me up. But where'd it go? And so God gave me this word, and I've been studying that. I've been struggling a little bit with that, right? I mean, I'm not struggling like I'm just, but just trying to figure it out. God, where's this word? And so God answered. You know, sometimes you ask questions, He answers. So we're going to talk a little bit today about a prophet named Elijah. And we're going to talk about a few things. And you all heard about Elijah, right? Anybody ever heard the word Elijah?
Yeah.
Anybody not heard of Elijah? Well, you know, that's wrong. We shouldn't say it that way. How many know who Elijah is? All right. Who is he? Talk. You guys act like you're asleep. Huh? Well, he's a prophet. Okay, he was about 874 to 852 B.C., somewhere in that range is when he was prophetic. That's when he was operating. One of the great prophets. He's such a great prophet that the Bible even said that before Jesus, before the Messiah come, the spirit of Elijah would return upon the earth. And most people think that was manifested in John the Baptist. Elijah was also so important that when Jesus went to the Mount of Transfiguration with a few of his disciples, he talked to God, the Father. He talked to Moses. And he talked to Elijah. In fact, when people were trying to figure out who this Jesus is, he's doing all these miracles, who's Jesus? The Word of God says that everybody said, this guy must be Elijah. Come back from the dead, because we've never seen anything like this guy. And so Elijah is one of the most powerful characters in the Bible. But how many knows that he served God during a very difficult, hard, dry time? He was doing his part. He was raising dead sons. He was performing miracles. He was a mighty man of God. But he served God in a dry land, a time of drought, of famine, of hard times, of persecution. He was a wanted man. He had to hide out for a while. He faced struggles. He wasn't perfect. He was suicidal at times. He was depressed at times. He had swag at times. He called down fire at times. But he struggled at times. Because it was dry. And it was hard.
Don't sound like somebody here.
And so Elijah served God during a time when there were a king named King Ahab. He was the eighth king of Israel, the northern kingdom. And he married a chick named Jezebel. And everybody here's probably heard the word Jezebel. And some of you think you know who Jezebel is, and some of you do know who Jezebel is, and some of you are wrong about who you think Jezebel is. But Jezebel was a princess. She was a princess. I figured out Jezebel is an old, you know, she's a whatchamacallit. No, she was a princess. But she didn't grow up knowing about God, God of Israel. So Ahab married her. He was a king, and he married the king's kid in another kingdom. And they did that in that time to make political unions. You got to watch political unions. He did that in time to try to make stability in the land. You got a rival king, you weren't going to take the island, marry his daughter. Maybe we get along a little better, right? Maybe not. But what Ahab didn't realize is, Ahab thought he was going to pull, probably, you know, he served God. I mean, he knew who God was. He was God, one of God's people. He was the king of Israel. And he probably thought, I'll get with Jezebel, and I'll teach her about God. And she'll walk in God. And she'll learn about God. But how many times do you understand? It usually don't happen that way. So Ahab didn't pull Jezebel to God, but Jezebel pulled Ahab away from God. And when Jezebel pulled the king away from God, Jezebel pulled the nation away from God. And what Jezebel did was slick. At first, she started bringing in idol worship from what she was used to. It was an idol named Asherah that she worshipped. It was a female goddess. If you're using that term, goddess, quit.
That's right.
Stop.
That's right.
You're messing around with something you don't want to touch.
Right.
Stop. And so archaeological records show that in Israel, they show this. This isn't just this isn't me in the Bible. This is archaeology. You can look it up at the Smithsonian or whatever you want to look up. That there started to be this practice where they would worship both Yahweh and Asherah. They found homes and sites where they're both monuments to Yahweh and idols of Asherah are in the same home. They're mixing. Gotta get a hold of this. They're mixing the things of God with the things of the world in an unholy gumbo. And that's a dangerous thing to mess with. That's a dangerous thing to mess with. And so before you know it, then he gets into Baal. And Baal, you know, she says, we're going to start worshiping Baal. And Baal was a god, they believed, of fertility and rainfall. Now, how many knows back then they needed rain? They needed some rain. We talked about rain a little bit so far. And so they needed rain, so they said, Jezebel said, well, let's just worship the rain god. We'll get some rain. So she started trying to seek the blessings that they needed on the land, but she started trying to use the wrong kind of way to do it. Sometimes when the spigot's been turned off in our life, we need to ask ourselves, what method are we using to seek the rain? What method are we using? Are we relying upon our own self or false idols? So they were worshiping Asherah and Baal. And before you know it, people of God became out of date, out of fashion. Because she was cool. She was cool. This is cool. This is new stuff, man. It's cool. So cool. So they started worshiping. The men of God became wanted men. They started being persecuted. They started being mocked and made fun of. Started being hunted down. They were wanted. They were on the run. And that's where Elijah found himself. So what God did, God said, enough's enough. And he turned off the spigot. He turned off the spigot. In 1 Kings 17:1, God sent Elijah to Ahab, the king, and he told him, it ain't gonna rain no more. You all worship, you all dance around this idol, you all got your rocks, you got your crystals, you got all your stuff, you just waiting for the blessing to fall. I'm turning it off. Let me tell you something. You play with that stuff and you wonder why you're not being blessed. It's because you're messing with some stuff. You don't. He's turning it off. Put that stuff down. So God turned off the water. And a drought became on the land. 3 years of drought. Now, drought is a very serious thing.
Yes, sir.
In that time, it was even a more serious thing. You didn't go to the water spigot and turn it on. You went and found water. And it was a little dry in Southwest Virginia. You didn't get to go to Walmart and they got a semi-truck coming from Florida and they got a little rain. You were stuck with what you had. You relied on God. If you were thirsty, you better pray it rains. If your crops are dying, you better pray it rains. If your cattle are dying, you better pray it rains. They knew who they relied on. Problem is, we still rely on God that way. We just don't know. We talk ourselves into this idea that we don't need God. We got Walmart. We got Amazon. We got jobs. We got our skills. We got our looks. We got our brains. We got our talents. We got our money. But I'm here to tell you something. It will let you down one day. I promise you. As sure as I'm standing here, you'll be left. I promise you. And then what will you do? Then where will we go? So a drought came upon the land. It was dry. It was hard. People were thirsty. People died in droughts. Famine increases. Pestilence increases. I saw Mike Tyson. Pestilence. Is that all right? I love Mike Tyson, man. You know. It's tough times. And I feel like sometimes, I don't know, I feel like sometimes it feels a little bit like a drought on this land. And I don't mean in the church world, it should never be a drought. We're like the fig tree, we're supposed to bloom. In season, out of season, rain, no rain. Because we're hooked up to a different fountain. But in this world, in this dirt, I feel a little bit like it's a drought time. Like people are struggling out there. And I feel like a little bit like it was in Elijah's time, that the people of God feel wanted or hunted down. And they feel like they're isolating. They feel like they're burying their head in the sand. Let's just go inside our boxes and pretend and pray and act different. But out there, it's rough out there. Because it's dry. It's a drought out there. Christians sometimes feel like wanted men, and I don't in any way mean to get political, but I say this. At a time when everybody says it's so free, I feel the least free as a Christian I've ever felt. In a sense, not to worship, but it's like everything I say is wrong. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Free for who? And I'm not criticizing anybody. I love everybody here. I'm just saying, it's a time when it seems like there's a drought in the land. It's a hard time out there. We've had COVID. We've had racial issues. We've got religious divide. We've got a drug epidemic, supposedly. We got all this stuff going on. We got hard times. Where's God? Where's the people of God? So there's this drought, and it goes 3 years. It goes 3 years, and Elijah hides away, and I feel like sometimes that's kind of the church, as we've hidden away, and I don't mean this church, I just mean the church, the bride. I feel like for a long time, I'm not blaming anybody. I'm not blaming, I mean, my father's been a pastor 50 years, but we've been with him for 14. I mean, I guess if we're going to blame him, we've got to blame ourselves a little bit, but I'm not trying to blame anybody. I'm just saying, on this planet, I feel like there's too many men and women of God who have put a box around their life and let it go on and said, let the drought go on. I don't care. As long as I can drink my water, I don't care about the land. And maybe it's because, like Elijah, sometimes we feel like we're the only one. Oh, that's just me. So after 3 years of drought, say 3 years.
3 years.
God had enough. And the man of God had enough.
Yeah.
He was a wanted man. They were looking to kill him. And he just walked into the king. Like Jesus when he went to Jerusalem. Say, you looking for somebody? You're looking for somebody? I hear you're looking for somebody. I hear you're looking for somebody. I hear you don't like me. I hear I'm out of fashion. I hear I'm out of style. I hear I'm not as cool as this kooky stuff, like all these stuff. I hear that I don't know what I'm talking. I hear I'm ignorant. I hear I'm to blame. I hear I'm hateful. I hear I'm intolerant. I hear I'm mean. I hear all this stuff. Well, here I am. Here I am. Well, I was talking about Elijah, but I appreciate it. I'm just messing with it. Maybe the shoe fits. I don't know. So it says, here I am. And so they have a contest on Mount Carmel in 1 Kings 18. You can read it later. I'm not going to read that. But it's where Elijah shows up with plenty of swag. There's 400 prophets of Asherah, 450 prophets of Baal. He says, let's have a little contest, see who's God's God. And Elijah talks smack. I mean, I know we want to be humble, we want to be meek, and there is a place of that we can read the Beatitude. I'm just saying, but Elijah was pretty swaggy. Because as you know the story, they cut up the carcass, and Elijah called down fire, and then he killed all them fools. He just laid them out, man. I mean, I could PG it, but the kids are gone. He just cut them up, man. He just killed them fools. And so that was powerful. And what Elijah was trying to do was to turn the hearts of his people back to the real God. To get them to understand the same God who calls down fire is the one who will call down rain when he wants to call down rain. You sit here praying to a God can't even pour down rain. My God pours down fire. My God pours down fire. You sit here making a rock run rain. My God brings down fire. My God brings down fire. It has nothing to do with this sermon except Jezebel. And you know, we know the Jezebel spirit, but we use that spirit, but she also had witchcraft and other spirits. But, you know, it's just funny to me how people, like that nation, was so easy to throw away God, and how we are too. How we'll believe anything other than what God says sometimes. How people will believe. I watched this documentary, and it was true. It was on history. I don't believe what they said was true. It was on the History Channel. And they were scientifically explaining the miracles of the Bible. And they said that At times in history, like once in every million years, spontaneously some kind of rock crystal can form in the sea. And they speculate that that just happened to happen when Jesus was walking on the water. That he stepped out, hit a once in a million year rock crystal, and surfed. And they think that's more rational. That's more rational than just believing what the book says. People are so, they'll believe any stupid thing in the world before they'll just believe what they've been taught their whole life and what's been preached for thousands of years and what works. It works because it's true, and it's true because it's the Word of God. Oh, it's just too simple, though. And I sure don't want to believe what my daddy believes, so I'll just believe what all these other fools are saying. So anyway. And I've been there. So after that's over, this is where we want to settle down and talk about this word real quick. I ain't going to say it real quick. I'll finish what Holy Spirit says. I'm not going to trump what Holy Spirit says. The innocent people don't want this to know. If you want to hear me, you know it's all right. You know it's all right. I've been kicked out of other places. So here's the word that was given to me, and this is where we are. So Elijah kills all those people, and here he stands, and he's essentially face to face. There's the king. And here's Elijah. You've been wanting to kill me. Your land's in drought. Your land's in mess. And I just laid to waste all your woman's fancy toys. My God did. Now what, king, are we going to do about this land? Lost Creek, what are we going to do about this land? Church, what are we going to do about this land? Just take care of ours and pray it all works out. Well, good luck to you. God bless you. Best of luck. Hope you get it. I'm going to take care of mine. I'm going to get mine. What do we do with this land? What do we do with this land? So Elijah, 1 Kings 18. And 41. He said something to the king. 3 years of drought. You've been looking for me. I showed up. And my God showed up. God's looking for some people to show up. God's looking for some people to show up. Just show up. Show up where they hurt. Show up where they're in pain. Show up where they're addicted. Show up where they're at school, where they're putting needles in, where they want to kill themselves. Show up to the broken. Show up to the hurting. Show up to the sick. Show up to the one that needs him home. He's looking for some men and women of God who are willing to show up. And you read their posts, it's about themselves. I'm just trying to get faked. I'm dying on the mind. Get up and get out there and show up and feed somebody else. Yeah, your own self. Anyway, so Elijah shows up and he says to the king, verse 41. Then Elijah said to Ahab, I'm in the NLT, and I may. Let him get you to put up a few of these scriptures. Then Elijah said to Ahab, go get something to eat and drink, for I hear a mighty rainstorm come. King, you butters. I'll quote, was it Randy Moss or Terrell Owens? King Ahab, pop you some popcorn. God's getting ready to show up. You got it. That's what he says. That's what he says. You remember that quote, boys? Pop some popcorn and watch me work. That's what Elijah said. Pop some popcorn because my God is here and he's ready to turn loose the rain. Yeah. Now, I want to ask you a question, though. I know I've got you wound up, and I could just preach your softball. I could keep you yelling for a few minutes, but I want you to think a minute. What does that mean? Now, there's been no rain in 3 years. They're starving. They're thirsting to death. Their crops are dead. Their cattle are dead. And the Word of God even says there's not a cloud in the sky. What does it mean when He says, I hear a mighty rainstorm? What do you hear? There's no thunder. We could, yeah, but here, nobody else hears it. There's nothing He sees that would indicate rain. Dry sky. And you know something called conditioning? If I get up 3 straight years and it's sunny, I'm probably expecting that. Right? If it's dry, I'm expecting dry. The problem is some of us in this room, we've learned to accept drought in our life. We've learned, but I'm not saying you don't love God. I'm not saying your heart's not about it. I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm not judging you. I'm just saying we've come to the place in our life where we can accept drought, that it's okay to be in drought, because that's just how it is. So what did He mean when He said, I hear a mighty rainstorm? And that gets me to this word. About 3 or 4 weeks ago, maybe it's been a month, I don't know, I came on Wednesday night, and there's a preacher, I think a lot of him. But, you know, I mean, he's never given me a word, and, you know, I mean, I wasn't looking for work. Really wasn't expecting to work. He came over to me and spoke an amazing word. I was sitting right here. He came with a whole crew, and I didn't sit in the door. Not that it matters, but I was sitting over here. He came over, and he just, like he'd been reading my email. You know? Yeah. Like he'd been listening to me and my wife. And I was thinking, is he bugging me? You know what I'm talking about? So many times I get people come up to me, and some are mad and some are happy. And they say, preacher, I know you preached about to me in that message. And I'm like, well, okay. I mean, I know the Holy Spirit means it for all of us, but I think people really do think I read their mail, or I'm talking to Dad about them, or I know all your junk, and when I preach, I'm talking right to you. Well, I really don't. There's sometimes 250, 300 people here or more. I don't really speak to, I can't preach to one person, but the Holy Spirit will make that word fit for every person. Does that make sense? But this is different, because on Wednesday night, He came over and gave me a personal word. That happens sometimes, right? It was an encouraging word, it was right on time, and it was something I really needed to hear. To the point where it made me feel bad a little bit that I didn't expect a word. Right? Listen, I may not be your favorite package. But that don't mean God can't use me to give you a word. You may prefer him, or you may prefer T.D. Jakes, or you may prefer a famous preacher. That doesn't mean God can't. If you turn me off because you don't like this package, you're missing something. Like, I almost missed what I needed to hear that night. So, that was powerful. Shook me, right? Shook me. It's been a month now, though, Dad. I heard what the man said. I heard what God was saying. But I ain't seen nothing yet. I don't see it. I see what some of y'all doing on Saturday night. It's a wrestling thing. or basketball now. So, God, I started struggling with that word. So the last month I've been struggling. Not struggling like I'm just hating my life. I'm just saying, I'm struggling to understand why did God, at first, why God, you sent me this word, but I ain't seeing nothing. Because I need, you know, it's kind of like, when you need it, you need it. God, I need a nap. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the word was on time. The word came out and I needed it. But where is it? Still dry. My cow's still down. You think to find time to leave me, Lucy? It's still bad. It's still hard. It's still drought. And God, you told me there was a rainstorm coming. So I start seeking God. God, did I miss it? Maybe I was really right about this cat. Did I miss it? Did I miss it? I mean, is this just a feel-good thing? Or I mean, was this really for me, God? Because I don't see it. So then God started work with me over the last couple weeks about that. Started saying, what kind of eyes are you using to see? You say you don't see it. But what kind of lenses or devices are you using to look through? God gives us all something called senses. Senses. S-E-N-S-E-S. Anybody know the senses? Tell me something. Taste? Smell? Touch? What? Sight? Hearing? In addition to the senses, God gives us an intellect, a brain. But I'm going to tell you something will blow your mind. Did you know all those things that I just named include a brain? He also gave to chimpanzees and dolphins. And he gave a lot of lesser animals, but chimpanzees and dolphins are pretty smart. And apparently octopus is a very smart critter. I didn't know. And I think they're wanting to stop eating octopus because we realize now they've been like having this conceptual thought. And we've been just eating them with a tentacle. You heard this? Apparently, octopuses are like dolphin smart. Their brains are this big. They have conceptual thought. Did you know that? So we've been torturing these poor cats, right? Putting them on sushi menus. But listen up. All those animals have those same senses and the same intellect. And you know what the best thing that gets us in life? Listen to this. For the best of us, for the smartest of us, it'll let us survive on this planet for a little while. If we're fortunate. Now I say blessed, but if you look at it from the worldly standpoint, if you're fortunate, the best that'll get you in life is to survive for a little while on this planet. The same thing it's going to get a chimpanzee or a dolphin. If you look at it scientifically. That's what your senses will get you. That's what you're biologically designed to do, is live here for a little while. And those senses will carry you that long, if you're fortunate. But see, the problem with that is when Jesus came, he taught us about something more. Say more.
More.
And that's what God keeps telling me. You keep looking back saying, where's the rain? And what you need to be asking is, where's the more? The Bible says, Jesus says, the Word of God says in His Word that He is Spirit. And those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. John 4:24. Jesus lived on this planet. I know I'm going to lose some of you here, and that's fine. I know we live in a very religious area, and we battle more religious spirit here than we do probably Jezebel's spirit. I know it's close. and probably more than witchcraft spirit. I know it's close. But I would say religious spirit is probably one of the biggest things in this area. Because we all grow up with stuff, and I grew up with it too. And when you get too freaky, I feel like Icarus. I feel like I'm too close to the sun, my wax is melted, I've got to fall back down to earth. I get a little scared sometimes when I get a little too high in the spirit. And really, that's my religion, that's my upbringing, that's my fear. That's fear.
Yes. Yes.
But there's more out there. And Jesus, what he taught us when he came, he introduced us to something called the kingdom of God. Now, when some of you hear kingdom of God, you think of heaven one day. Oh, that's heaven. Kingdom of God is here now. He says that. His word says the kingdom of God is here. And it coexists with this planet, with this earthly realm. So you got two realms coexisting. And one we're real familiar with because we grow up in our earth suit. But Jesus operated in a spiritual realm that existed at the same time, same place as the physical realm. And that realm is called the kingdom of God. Are you with me? That's how Jesus was able to, in the temple when they were trying to kill him, go into stealth mode, get invisible, and just slip out and then you couldn't see where he went. But this is, y'all think this is Marvel? Marvel ain't got nothing on Jesus. Read your Bible. You think comic books are cool? Jesus did cool stuff, man. Jesus still does cool stuff. Pay attention. That's how Jesus walked on water. You see, that doesn't make our rational mind. Now, one, God is always logical. What is logical? Logos. It's truth. God can't be untrue. But God does not have to be rational. He does not have to fit into the laws of gravity, into the laws of time, into our expected biological rules.
Rewind that. Say it again, honestly. God, Holy Ghost, say it. We need to get a hold of that.
God is not limited by what this planet and these scientists say that has to happen. See, science says when you get cancer to a certain degree, it's supposed to progress. It takes down unhealthy cells. It kills cells and you die. And sometimes that happens. And I don't know why God, but I do know this, we have to progress in this earth. It's for us all to die once. But I know sometimes it don't happen. Sometimes it don't go what science says. And sometimes God says there's other things I can do. I can heal cancer. I can heal hips. I can heal eyes. I can heal illness. I can heal sickness. Jesus walked on water. How does that fit? I mean, the scientific laws say the heavier item must sink in the water. But he walked on water. Jesus went to a man that had been in the tomb for days and he said, come forth. And he got up. These don't match our minds. And so we can dismiss those things. And we can be like the chimp and the dolphin. You can live here a little while. Rely on that. And then you're dead. But God operated in a kingdom. He said, you know, I get hungry. That's biology. That's not nature to me. You get hungry? Everybody gets hungry sometime. You don't believe me? Let me preach about four. We'll see what happens. But Jesus said in his word, I have food to eat that you know not of. Jesus wasn't talking about the same kind of food. Elijah wasn't talking about the same kind of sound. Elijah wasn't talking about his ears. He was talking about the realm of the spirit that Jesus would bring, called the kingdom. Now here's, we say, well, that's cool, but Jesus was special. Yeah, he was. He was all God, all man. But here's where I was saying the more. This message just comes from me questioning God, where's the rain? Because that night, I felt like the pastor got in my face and said, son, I can hear the rain. I felt like a pastor came to me individually, one-on-one, inside my eyes. I said, I hear the rain. So I've been looking for it. But I've been looking here. Look at my eyes. I've been taking my mind, studying, looking up stuff. I've been listening. But what if there's more? See, the problem is, Jesus says there is more, and it scares us, and it challenges us, and it divides religion, and that's where you lose religion. I can have a big revival here, and you get to a certain point in the Scripture if you're honest with the Scripture. I'm not talking about doctrine. I'm not talking about denominational doctrine. I don't even do that stuff. I'm just talking about if you just read this Word, you'll get to a break of jumping off point where people jump. Just like with Jesus when he lost all those disciples. When he started preaching tough stuff, and he said, well, we're out. Oh, eat your blood, eat your flesh, drink your blood. Well, we're out. We like the breads and the fish and the loaves. We like all that. Whoa, now you're getting radical. We're out. And I feel like you got to listen right here. Because I feel like this is a spot that is keeping us in drought. And I don't mean us as like a body. I'm talking about me, you, many of us. It could be his body. But I'm talking about followers of Jesus. It keeps us in drought. The idea that maybe there's more. And maybe instead of having just praying for God to come down here and bless what I see and what I taste and what I hear in my ear, that maybe I need to start understanding the power that is given and bestowed to us if we operate inside the kingdom of God. Because the Word of God says this. And you can put up a second one if you want to, like in Mark 16, 17 through 20. But John 14, 12. Those who believe in me will greater things do than even I did.
Yes.
Now that's Jesus. Now you take that. You think about that. Jesus says that we have authority because, one, he defeated death, hell, and grave. Two, he went and set aside the Father to intercede. And three, he sent his Holy Spirit. That we have authority here to do even greater things than he did.
Yes.
Huh? Who? Are we sure that we have that kind of authority? And to put a mark, Lincoln?
Mark 16.
Huh?
Yeah. That one?
Yeah. Okay. And we're going to go to 20. These miraculous signs, and you know this, we got shirts printed. But why is it we don't believe it? Why is it we jump off when we hear this? Why is it that we're okay with all that? Lord, heal me. Lord, pray for me. Lord, bless me. Lord, save me. But when I get to a certain point in the Bible, I'm not done. Oh, whoa. I'm scared. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name. They will speak in new languages. They will be able to handle snakes with safety. And if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They will be able to place their hands on the sick. And they will be healed.
Yes.
That's good. That's kingdom. What if I told you there's more? What if I told you that rather than being victims of the weather patterns, oh, where are you, rain? That we're called to hear the storm on a sunny day, to hear the rain when it's dry outside, and even to call down rain and maybe fire. Maybe fire when it calls for it. That maybe you've been called for that. And maybe what keeps us from that is fear. Lack of confidence, fear. Because if the Bible is true, that's what it says. can't be satisfied with an earth suit, or we're going to die like a chimpanzee and a dolphin. Those dolphins are smart. We were on a boat one time. My wife loves them. And a mom and a baby came, and she bent over, and she was just like she had seen, you know, whatever. And they're so smart, they came up, came out of the water, and looked to her. And, you know, they have a smile. I don't know if they mean to smile, or that's just the look of their face like a clown. But, you know, to her, they smiled at her, you know. And but it's a smart thing. It knew that she wasn't going to hurt them. And they came up out of that water, looked at her, and squeaked and went back down. That's pretty smart. Because a deer won't do that. Most of the time, I guess you could condition a deer. Most of the time, the deer knows, if I come up there, somebody in this area, we in the woods, boys, we're in Appalachian Mountains, somebody get some jerky if I come up here. I'm staying away. So there's more, but we can't be satisfied with the earth suit. We can't be satisfied. I heard this once. You want to be a prisoner for the rest of your life? Decorate your cell. Decorate your cell. If you're in a drought right now, don't make yourself comfortable. Embrace the fact you're not comfortable. Comfort will kill you. Comfort will kill you and your kids. If you're comfortable in a drought, pray. God, put a burr under my saddle. Make me miserable. There's only two superhero movies that are worth a hoot. And this is preaching. This is gospel, okay? And now they got every kind of superhero in the world. They got Hulks, grandmas, baby mama, attorney at law. And you watch that, right? I mean, those are big things. I lost it. I lost it in 82. I mean, there's been two superhero movies worth a hoot. Y'all think Iron Man. I'm too old for that stuff. Two superhero movies. Superman 1, Superman 2. When Christopher Reeves went down that horse, they buried Superman as far as I'm concerned.
Yep, that's real.
But Superman 2, listen, is the one I like best. Because Superman got tired of being Superman. And Superman retired. He said, I want to be Clark Kent for the rest of my life. All these people and their problems, I'm flying around all night solving everybody's problems. I'm done. Then these three other big superheroes come to Earth and start wreaking havoc. The front page of all the Metropolis news says, well, not yet, that was coming, but yeah. But they did say, Superman, where are you now? Superman! He was satisfied being Clark Kent. He just wanted to get a little love from Lois. He wanted to be normal. The world needed a hero.
That's a real deal, I promise.
Superman, where are you? There was even a song, Superman, where are you now? Phil Collins or somebody. Is that right? Salvo might know, I don't know. We are in a time with this planet. Listen to me. I know I'm going, but you gotta listen. Needs men and women of God who believe there's more, who believe what the Bible says, who's willing to step out in faith, who's willing to take a chance, who's willing to operate under the powers of the kingdom, who's willing to cast out demons, who's willing to pray for the sick, who's willing to do the things that the Bible says we do. Or else we're just a church of chimps. And I've come a long way because of my life, but I don't want to be a chimp. They throw they throw waste at each other. Lord, you want to start doing that at me, I'm out. I'm out. I'll cast it out or I'll take it right on down to Key West or somewhere, I promise you. I'm out. And I wouldn't even say that out loud till this lady come along. She's took me places. You know what we need? We need kingdom warriors, men and women. Who, despite what the scientists say, despite what Fox News says, despite what CNN says, despite what the Coalfield Proper says, despite what Facebook says, despite what your neighbor says, despite what the preacher says, despite what the religious person says, despite what the naysayer says, despite what the critics say, despite what your family says, that you can hear the rain even in the middle of the drought. The rain coming down on a sunny day. That guy's in trouble a few years ago. You know what? I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. Religious spirit, go back to hell where you came from. I don't care. You don't want me to listen to it. I don't care. I'll be honest. This word's wrecked because it made me start thinking about it. I have backed off of religion. I've been scared of it. And I backed off because I wanted to be saved and I wanted to be liked. And God says, that's why you can't hear the rain. Because the people you're trying to oppress, they'll never get it anyway unless God changes their heart. To the chimps and the dolphins and the monkeys. Preach to a generation that'll listen to the Spirit. I don't care if they got track marks in their arms and not working hard. Facebook. I hope they see it. I've been too civilized. It's what killed Rocky. It's what got Rocky whooping Clover Lane. You got too civilized. I'm not here to impress you. I'm not here to look cool. I'm not here to look bad. I'm trying to be accountable to the Holy God that has told me I'm supposed to hear the rain when I don't see it. I'm accountable to a holy God that tells me I'm supposed to cast out demons, that I'm supposed to heal the sick. I just want to obey what He says. And I'm sorry if that offends you. I really don't have a personality disorder. I really don't want people to hate me. Well, listen, the Bible even says, if you got religious friends, you don't got much Jesus in you because they can't stand Him. They crucified Him.
Right.
I'm not saying you should try to be mean, but I'm saying there should be enough Jesus in you that might cause a little stir anyway. Yeah. Yeah. Try to get along with people. Yeah. Don't fight people. Don't get on Facebook and yell at people. But be true to who you are.
Right.
So 1 Kings 18, I'm almost done. 42 to 44. Thank you. I just soon read it up there. If you can get it, I can't really see. So Ahab went to eat and drink. But Elijah climbed to the top of Mount Carmel. He bowed low to the ground. He prayed with his face between his knees. Then he said to his servant, go look toward the sea. So now let's stop, pause. I don't like to always do this. So it's a pause. I just want to say this. He's already heard the rain in his spirit. Now he's praying to God to call down the rain. He's called down fire. I've seen fire and ice. I'm just gonna roll it down. I'll be at the finish next Saturday night. No cover. Be there? Probably not. That's where they are. I don't know, they don't even say that.
They go mark the fire.
We need to. We need to. So now he's praying to call down rain. And he's where I was last time. Val, go look outside and see if you see anything. You see anything in the sky? I heard it. I just called down fire and I'm praying for it. I believe it's coming. So you get a hold of this. Because you've been looking for something. And the servant goes, comes back and says, I didn't see anything. He uses eyes. He uses eyes. And he didn't see it. And seven times Elijah told him to go and look. Next verse. Stop there. Now, I'll be honest. Few of us have enough confidence in our kingdom senses when we hear a word from God to go back seven times and look for the evidence of that thing. In fact, I doubt I did. Because the first time you go look, oh man, I was expecting that. I was fired up. Well, I know that it'll be this time. This time. This time. I'm going to go back one more time. So I sent it back a second time. Nothing. God is about numbers. Three. That's the number. Send it back. Nothing. Three didn't work. Five said, look, I said, he's just waiting for me to push through. Fourth time. I don't see it. Fifth time. There's people in this room, you've been fifth, five times. You've been looking at the sky. Five times. Some of you look six. And you ain't seen it yet. It ain't no better. Where's the better? Where's the rain? But you know why Elijah kept sending him back time after time? Because he knew what he heard. He knew what he heard. He trusted what he heard in the spirit more than he trusted what he saw with his eyes. As long as that flips the other way, if you trust your eyes more than your spirit ear, you're a chimp. You're a dolphin. And you're operating under the same laws of nature they do. Right turn, Clyde. Because that's all you got. What separates us is spirit, soul, and spirit. And if you know what the Spirit says to you, then it don't matter what the chip says if you send him back seven times.
Amen. Yes. Yes.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. I don't see nothing. Ooh, ooh, ooh. But I heard the sound of a mighty rainstorm in my spirit. So the seventh time. So you see, Elijah has perseverance and he has faith to keep going by the disappointments. You gotta go past the disappointments, guys. When God gives you a word, you've got to hang on past the disappointment. Six times Elijah was disappointed with the report he got back. Six times he went to the doctor and got a bad report. Six times he went home and got a bad report. Six times he tried to quit drugs and got a bad report. Six times he went to the bank and overdrew and got a bad report. Six times he got a bad report. Six times his depression was still there. Six times he kept waking up at 4 a.m. Six times he was biting his nails and couldn't sleep at night. Six times he was having bad dreams. Yes. Six times.
Yes. Hallelujah.
But he pushed past the disappointment.
Yes.
Because he knew what he heard. I'm going to give you a shocking statement. You can hear. That's what I love about these ministries we got coming in this revival that I've seen so much evidence of. You can be a mess in your life and you can still hear the word of God.
Yes.
Now,
amen.
You may not get to the rain necessarily. And that may be what God is trying to get you through process to.
Yes.
It's the point where you, I heard it. Now I've got to keep going back to it.
Amen.
I don't know why. I'll do good for 3 months and then boom, I messed up. Okay. But you still heard what you heard. You still heard what you heard. You go back and look again. 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 So here we go. Verse 24. Finally, the seventh time, his servant told him, I saw a little cloud the size of a hand rising from the sea.
Yeah.
Now, look up at your horizon right now. Look up at that big sky there. And put your hand out like this.
Yeah.
And imagine that's the sky. How big a cloud is that? Now, if you want to, I'll tell you a trick. It's a fishing trick Will taught me. Do like this, it looks a lot bigger. So Josh, next time you want to tell people how big fish you caught, just put it real close to the screen. But really, if you do like this, in a big sky, it's tiny clouds. Now, here's the problem. We want to shout on this verse. But that still sounds like a partial miracle to me. We don't celebrate anything in religion unless it's teetotally 100%. It's got to be 100%. If there's any mistake, that's not God. Because he heard a mighty rainstorm, but still the report is a tiny cloud. What kind of mighty storm comes out of that little cloud? Let me tell you something here today, God sent me to tell you. Listen up, we're almost done. God has told you, you know it, I didn't have to tell you that today. He's told you before. That's why you're sitting here. He's told you there's a rainstorm coming, a mighty rainstorm coming. It's been a drought, maybe. It may have been a while since you've seen much. Maybe it's been a while since I tasted much. Maybe it's been a while since I felt much. Maybe it's been a while since I deduced much. Maybe it's been a while since I intellected much. Maybe it's been a while since I Googled much. But God, what God sent to Elijah that just rocked Elijah was a little four-letter word. And I'll use it. It's the H word, not the P word like Jimmy that got into it. I mean, the worship was going on. Mama had a stroke over there. I about had to do resuscitation on Mama. And Dad's like, yes, religion's dead! And Mama, oh! Four little words is, listen. Hope. When you've been dry a long time, it don't take that big a cloud to stir up something. Now you've been drinking, Gatorade for 38 days, and it's if you live in Seattle, Washington, you live in a rainforest, that little cloud might not mean much to you. So when you see somebody come up here and ring a bell, and praising in unconventional and unlikable manners. Maybe your butt ain't been as dry as that butt. some people. It's gonna stir up some issues of people. It's gonna stir up some issues of people. So the servant says, all I see is a little cloud. But Elijah knew what he heard, and he looks up at the servant and says, you better tell that old king. You need to tell the king of this world, the imposter, the fake lion, Satan. You need to tell him a little something. Devil. Demon who's been persecuting me. Devil who's been riding me. So that I know what I heard. And I've seen a little hope. And I'm going to tell you something, son. Like old Charlie Daniels told you. You better get on down to the house because the rain's getting ready to fall. The rain's getting ready to fall. The rain's getting ready to fall. He tells the king literally, all he's still seeing is a little cloud. He heard his spirit, and he sees a little cloud. And with only Elijah's swag, he says, go tell the king. It's going to rain so hard, he won't even go get his chariot off his heel. He better get on down the mountain. Some of y'all need to run. You need to run some spirits off your mountain. You need to get out of the way. Out of the way. Get out of here. Get out of here. Get out of here. But he's looking for some people to operate in his spirit and change this environment. We've been in our little boxes, our little temples, our little buildings long enough. We've acted better than everybody else long enough. And we've quoted the ones, the certain scriptures that we like better well enough and left the others alone. It's time that we get tired of seeing our land thirsty. It's time that we're tired of our kids being thirsty. It's time. We're tired of driving by the hillbilly and seeing what I see. It's time that I drive by this place and that place, and I don't mean to put anything out. I'm not, there's great people. I'm just saying there's some hurt people you see. At the schoolhouse. At the courthouse. At the hospital. At your workplace. At your home place. It's time that we be accountable and say, God, there's more. And that might make a little more conviction on me, and that might scare me. But I just want to hear the rain. I want to hear the rain. And it's time for this nation, this group of people that God has called and who God has had me deliver this word to, either on the internet or here. It's time for you to step up and show up. It's time for you, like Elijah, to say, I'm here. And I may not have it all figured out, and I may not see it all right now. But I know what I heard. And I know there's a storm coming. I know there's a storm coming. And so if you're in this room, it's been a dry season. Oh, I got to read verse 45 real quick. Read it. Pull it up there, Lincoln. And soon. Say soon. Can you hear it? Can you hear it? Yes, I am. The sky was black with clouds, and a heavy wind brought a terrific rainstorm, and Ahab left quickly for Jezebel. You know what I like about that? King of the world, king of the earthly realm. He didn't just ease on off that mountain. We're too friendly with the demonic realm. we tolerate too much.
Yes.
Ahab didn't ease off the mountain. Ahab put his head between his tail and ran like the wind to his little Jezebel. You want to clean out from a mountain? Stop entertaining demons. Stop being friendly. Well, they scared you. Jesus, I know. Paul, I've heard of you. Who are you? Who are you? You call me up? You tell me to get off that mountain? Ah! But Elijah told him, and Ahab took it on down the hill. You're in this room, and you may have been through a dry season. And I guarantee everybody in this room, pretty much, I would almost guarantee every one of you, maybe, at some point in your life, God has talked to you, spoke to you, told you there was more, told you there was hope, told you that there was more life than this. He put a little hope inside you, put a little something inside you. And things happen. I know things happen. We do things. We mess up. Things happen. We're frail. We do goofy stuff. Stuff happens to us, but honestly, if we're big boys and girls and not punks, a lot of it's on us. Quit blaming the people. That's a punk. It's coward. But stuff does happen to us. But a lot of stuff, I'm a grown boy and I don't take responsibility. It's a dry season. And you come to these services hoping, holding on, trying to get a little hope. It's like going and looking seven times. You keep coming looking for something.
Yes.
I know God told me something. I know I'm going to get this. I know I can finally lick these drugs all the way, not just part of the way. I know this marriage can finally work out. I know I can finally find a job. I can feed my family. I'm so stressed out. I know this anxiety and this torture. I know this depression and I know all this stuff. I know that it's going to get better. I'm hoping, I'm praying, I'm praying, I'm praying, I'm hoping, but I don't see it yet. God says, but you heard it. You heard my voice. You remember? Did you change your mind? You remember, Steve? What he said to you in the secret place. It was that you saw, but do you remember what it sounded like? You know, he told me to tell you all today. I don't have every answer for every problem. And I know a God who brings rain. And all he told me to tell you today was that word you heard, hold on to it. And all I'm here to do is show you a little cloud to give you hope, to know the storm's coming, and it's going to change everything. The rain's coming. Rain of revival, rain of refreshing, rain of healing, rain of deliverance, rain of purpose. You may leave this room and we may have a deluge outside of rain. And it may take a few more times sending the servant back and looking. But you know what you heard. You hang on to what you hear in the spirit. The devil wants to talk you out of that. He wants you to be satisfied and live like a dolphin and a chimp. Don't fall for his junk. Remember what you heard. Hold on to that sound. There is no sound like the coming of a mighty storm. Hold on to the sound. In Jesus' name, I want you to ask you to bow your heads with me. If you're in this room, and you know what drought feels like, you know what dryness feels like, you know what disappointment feels like, you know what heartache feels like. I'm not saying you're a bad person. I'm not saying you're good or bad. I'm not saying you're not even a Christian. But you know what disappointment feels like. You know you've been waiting to hear something from God. I'm that way. That's what I've been waiting on. I've been waiting on the move of God. If there's somebody in this room that can be honest with me and says, "He, I know this word just wasn't for you, but I think it's for me too. I know what that feels like, and I'm waiting, and I need something from God." Would you just raise your hand with me? Thank you for being obedient. It's good to know that I'm not the only one. It's good to know that I'm not the only one that needs hope this morning. I'm not the only one that needs encouragement this morning. I'm not the only one that needs more of you, God, this morning. Is there anybody in this room where we're moving quickly that you need to come back into relationship or come into relationship with Jesus? Would you raise your hand? I just want to see your hand. I see your hand. Anybody else? I see your hand. I see your hand. Is there anybody else in this room today that needs a healing in your body or mind? And you've been holding on for that and you've been disappointed and don't seem to be coming. And your faith is getting weak. Would you raise your hand with me? You need a healing today. Is there anybody in this room, your passion's growing, you're looking for something from God, you've been asking God a question, and you don't seem to be getting the answer that you hoped for, or don't seem to be coming fast enough? Would you raise your hand with me right now? Waiting on God. But you know what you've heard, but you haven't seen it yet. Listen, if you don't have your hand up for that, you're not dreaming big enough. Because I've got a lot of dreams. Oh my goodness, so many dreams not come true. If every dream you got has come true, my friend, you're dreaming small dreams. So everybody that had your hand up, just put it up again. We're going to receive it right now. I want to tell you something right now. Does this resonate in you? If it doesn't resonate in you, that's fine. Don't believe me. The rain is coming. The rain is coming. And I hear the rain. And I don't know what you see. And I don't know what you feel. But I hear it. The rain.
Let it rain, Lord.
Is there anybody in this room that can hear the wind thing? I'm going to ask you something. They said earlier, I told you we didn't plan this. This whole umbrella giving and all that. How do you plan that? That's God. That is all 100% Holy Spirit God. The song, the umbrella. We had no conversation about this service. You want to go think that's God trying to tell us something today? How does that work out? Earlier they said, stand like a child in the rain. Nobody's looking, your heads are bowed. I'm going to ask you, if you had your hand up, just to stand and put your hands up. Expect the rain. Expect the rain. Just stand all over this room. If you had your hands up, just lift your hands. Say, God, I'm ready for the rain. I'm ready for the rain. I'm ready for the rain. What I'm going to do, we have people that said they wanted salvation, healing, restoration, all sorts of things. I'm on count to three. And I want you to, all these that are standing, I want you to come forward on this altar. We're going to pray together. And we're going to pray that God will let us hear and see in the supernatural, in His kingdom senses, and not be bound by these earth sins. No more chimps. No more church chimps. It's time to operate under the kingdom. So are you ready? One, two, three. Just start coming to the rain. Come on, come to the rain. Come on, come to the rain. Three, come on. Come on, all over this room. Come on, can you hear the rain? Come on. Come on. Can you hear the rain?